Well, this morning I wanted to talk to you on Palm Sunday, reading the passage in Luke's Gospel, the account of the triumphal entry by Jesus into Jerusalem is told in every single one of the Gospels, but the account that I'd like us to read from today is in Luke's Gospel. So if you have a Bible, if you could turn to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to be reading from verse 28. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and he said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'" May God add blessing to the public reading of his word. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because we know what comes next, Father, in this story. Father, the death and the resurrection. We thank you for this account, Father, which is just littered with details which are beautiful. Father, which remind us of what you're truly like, what your heart is towards your people, and the kind of God we serve. And so this morning, Lord God, as we examine these words in this passage, Father, I pray that our hearts will be awakened to the power, the beauty of praise, and the God who we praise. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you have ever received the red carpet treatment. Has anyone here ever walked down a red carpet? Anyone ever dreamed of walking down the red carpet? Well, once when I was at school, there was a special kind of end of year gathering, and the teachers literally rolled out a red carpet, and we walked into the building dressed in our nice clothes, and it felt really special. But I think that's the only time, perhaps it will be the only ever time, I received the red carpet treatment. But what happened on this Palm Sunday was very similar to that. Jesus received the red carpet treatment. I don't know if you know this story well, many of you will, but Jesus, knowing that he was about to die, approached Jerusalem for the final time. And previously in the Gospels, Jesus had done this funny little thing where he would perform a miracle and then he would say, "Shh, don't tell anyone because my time has not yet come." Do you remember that? So on many occasions, Jesus would say, "Listen, not now, my time has not yet come." But now, on this day, Jesus knew that his time had come. And as he entered, he didn't enter quietly through a side door. He entered publicly and through the east gate with all sorts of prophetic resonance around what he was doing. You might think to yourself, well, if he knows he's a king and he's entering into Jerusalem, why doesn't he enter in a chariot? Why on a donkey? But even the donkey had prophetic significance to the Jews. Zechariah had prophesied that the king would come humble, riding on a donkey. And there he was before the people, and they had all heard what had happened in the raising of Lazarus just a few weeks before. And everybody was talking about the miracles that this man had performed. Was this man the Messiah? Was he the one that that was the hope, the fulfillment of the hopes of Israel? Was he the one the people had been longing for? Had he finally come? And many were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. So on this occasion, as he got onto the donkey and as people began to wave their palm branches, people began to throng out of Jerusalem to meet him on the path from Bethany to Jerusalem. And it's interesting as we look at this example of praise from the people, because we know that only a week later, some of those standing in the crowd saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," would be those who would be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And how fickle the human heart is, but true worship rises up and expresses itself through praise. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, the power of praise. First thing I want to say about praise this morning is praise overflows from a heart of worship. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been in love. Many of you who are married will know exactly what that feels like to be in love. And when you're with someone who you love, you just want to tell them how much you love them. You know that feeling? If you've been married a long time, perhaps you've forgotten that feeling. But it'll do you good to remind yourself just all of the things you appreciate about your partner and to tell them. Because love expresses itself in adoration, often spoken from the mouth, but definitely shown through acts of love and kindness and affection. And when we enter into a relationship with God, everything changes. I've been blessed even this morning, standing in the cafeteria, chatting to somebody who has recently just given his life to the Lord and been filled with the Spirit, and just the joy that's in his heart. And he can't contain himself. He literally can't keep it in. It's overflowing from him. And I was thinking back to the moment I met Jesus and was filled with the Holy Spirit. I felt like liquid love had been poured into my heart. I felt like everything had changed. I felt the love of God, and I couldn't help but talk about him. It literally couldn't stay inside me another second longer. It had to come out of my mouth, and I had to tell people this amazing thing that had happened to me. And often when our hearts have been changed, our mouths express it. Out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. And so in verse 37 of this passage in Luke, it says, "When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives," the Mount of Olives was this kind of valley between the temple courts and some villages that were just across the way, including Bethany and Bethphage. And it says, as he came down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices. And all the way through the Bible, you see this golden thread that's woven through many of the books, and the golden thread is praise. And often in the Psalms and in Deuteronomy and in Exodus, you'll see these exhortations to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord. So, for instance, in 1 Chronicles 23, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." And you think that there was a physical temple, a place of worship, the place where people could access the presence of God, and the access code to the courts of the temple was praise. So as you came from outside into the courts of the Gentiles, you came with praise. As you went from the court of the Gentiles into the court of the women, it was praise. As you came from the court of the women into the court of the men, it was praise. As you came to offer your sacrifice, it was praise. Praise was on the lips of the early disciples. And Psalm 34 continues, it says, "I will bless the Lord." Do you know our praise blesses the Lord? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. My soul makes its boast." When we praise God, our soul is boasting about the goodness of God. "Let humble hearts be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." And let's just talk about that word magnify for a moment, and I've said this over the years. When we magnify the Lord with our praise, we don't actually make him any bigger. He is no bigger than he's ever been. He is eternally, eternally big. But what you do with a magnifying glass is you focus it on the object, and the object becomes bigger in your sight. And when we praise God, God becomes bigger in our sight. I don't know this morning if you're going through something, and it might be that your eyes are on that thing and your thoughts are consumed by that thing, and it might be that your words are speaking words of complaint and you're moaning and there's lots of angst in your life because of that thing and it's consuming you. Well, let me give you the antidote to some of those feelings, and it's praise. And you can praise God in the middle of horrible circumstances because God is a God who never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we begin to praise God, when we exalt him, when we lift him up, when we rehearse all of the wonderful things he's done in our lives and begin to tell the stories of what God is like, and we remember what he's done for us in the past, and when we remind ourselves of the kind of God that we serve, he suddenly becomes bigger in our sight and those other things become smaller. 1 Chronicles 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory amongst the nations, his marvelous deeds amongst all people. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And so when we praise God, we ascribe to him the things that are due his name. Lord, you are magnificent and glorious. You are kind and you are good. You are merciful and you are gracious. And you remind yourself, you give to God what he deserves in terms of his reputation. And you worship him and you proclaim his salvation day after day. You sing to the Lord. You declare his goodness. You ascribe greatness to him. And then in Psalm 9, verse 1, it says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. What does it mean to worship God and to praise him with all of our heart? Well, what I would say is in James chapter 3, James says, listen, you know, you might praise God well enough, but you use the same lips that you use to praise God to curse your brother and sister. That's not good. Can salt water and fresh water flow from the same spring? And what James is saying is, listen, praise has to be more than just the empty repetition of words out of our mouths. It has to come from a heart of devotion to him. True praise comes from a heart of worship. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 51, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. Out of the overflow of my heart, my lips, my mouth will declare your praise. So praise overflows from a heart of worship. How do we praise God? How do we praise him? You know, looking at this passage where they were entering into Jerusalem, some people laid their leaves cut from the trees on the floor before the donkey. Other people laid their cloaks. Who here has ever had a coat laid down for them in a muddy puddle? No? Come on, men. Where's your gallantry? But that's what was happening. People were laying down their cloaks and laying down leaves, and they were expressing their worship physically. And some people were waving palm branches. They were expressing their praise to God physically, even as they were declaring that he was the son of David, the coming king. And they were waving their palm branches. And some people here today, you need to know there is freedom in this place to worship God and to praise him using our whole self. So it might be that you're worshiping, you know, you can worship God quietly in your heart, and you can sit in quiet and you can worship God. You can worship God as you do your work. You can do it unto the Lord and it becomes worship. You can worship the Lord as you love your spouse. You can worship the Lord as you raise your children. Everything done unto the Lord becomes an act of worship, and it's an attitude, a leaning in of the heart. That's worship. But praise has to be expressed. Praise has to be declared. It has to be spoken. You can't praise somebody without speaking something out. And so when we praise God, it has to be something we say, it has to be something we do. And there are some people that bless me on a Sunday morning. I watch them as they worship the Lord. And Jane was worshiping with a flag at the back this morning, blessing my heart. And I sometimes see people dancing at the back, and that blesses my heart. And I see sometimes people just sitting in quietness, but just in total contemplation of the Lord, and that blesses my heart. However the Lord calls us to worship, let's do it, but let's do it with all of our hearts. I have this vision, and it won't go away, and it's of us on a Sunday morning, and it's of the glory of the Lord filling the house. And as we worship the Lord, I see people with tears streaming down their face, and people with outstretched arms, and people with total adoration in their hearts just reaching out to God. And I know that potential exists within us as a body to experience the fullness of God's glory in this place. And I just want to say to you, I will know the Sunday when it happens. I will know when it happens. But I don't want it just to be a one-off moment where we have an experience of God's presence and we reach that place where we experience him in his glory, and then it stops, and then there's another 6 months, and then we have another glory moment. I want there to be a moment of breakthrough where we go up to a higher level in praise and worship, and that we experience that as the normal Sunday experience. And this is what somebody once said to me. Listen, there might be people who you might be feeling kind of tired, you might be feeling half-hearted, lukewarm, and you know the condition of your heart, and some Sundays you just don't want to come to church. Sometimes it feels like an effort. If I were to put my hand up now and say that was the case, you'd be shocked, but so I won't. But sometimes we can feel like that. And we come because we know that it's a good thing to do, to come and be with God's people and to worship the Lord. But what would happen if every Sunday as we gathered together, we met with the Lord in all of his glory? And we met his love and we met his kindness, and our lives experience breakthrough, and we experience physical healings, and people were set free, and demons were fleeing. Would you love to come to a Sunday gathering like that? Well, my prayer for us is that every single Sunday when we come to church, when we meet with one another in the presence of God, that it won't just be singing songs. It'll be an encounter with the living God that will change our lives. And as we go from this place, we will be carriers. We will have been in the Lord's presence. People, I can sometimes tell when people have been with Jesus. Their face is just radiant with him. And so I want us to come on a Sunday radiant with Jesus and leave even more radiant with Jesus. And so when we go out from this place to our families and our workplaces, people are like, what's happened to you? Oh, I've just been to church. You should come. I think I will. And it would be contagious. Where there's a fire, people come to watch it burn. And so we're praying for the Holy Spirit fire to fall in this place. The second thing is, praise provides a throne on the earth. I've brought this throne here today. And it's interesting when we read through this passage in Luke 19. It says, when they came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise him in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. A recognition that the King was coming. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Psalm 22 verse 3 says this in one translation. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In another translation, you inhabit the praises of Israel. And something happens when we praise God, that becomes on earth a throne for God. And so it might be that you're going through some stuff, and it might be that, you know, your marriage is struggling. And when you praise God, you put down a seat and you invite God to come and sit in the middle of your relationship difficulty. It might be that you've got some financial difficulties and you're thinking, oh, look, what's going on? And you begin to praise God and you put down a seat in the middle of your problem and you invite God to come and sit on his throne in the middle of that problem. It might be that you're looking to the future and you're thinking, I feel like there's more to life than this. I feel like there's a call of God on my life and I just feel like this is just mundane. This is day to day, but I just sense that God's leading me into something, and you start to moan and you start to complain, but instead begin to pray. praise, because when you praise, you put down a seat and you invite Jesus to come and sit on it in the middle of what's going on. And any number of other problems, just invite him through your praise to come and put down a throne in the middle of the thing that you're going through. Come and put down a throne in the middle of your emotional problems and your mental problems. Put down a seat so he can come and sit on it right in the center of those things that are going on in your life. It says that when we praise God, he is enthroned. Now we know that he is enthroned above the circle of the earth. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. We know that he is who he says he is. But on earth, we know that the enemy still has some influence. And so instead of focusing on the things that the devil brings our way, instead of focusing on the things that are going wrong and dwelling on those and being lost in the middle of them, because the darkness can come in, can't it? It comes in like a cloud and sometimes it rests upon us. But when we praise, we put down a seat and we invite Jesus to come and to sit right in the center of those things that are going on in our lives. He is enthroned on the praises of his people. The third thing is, praise is what we were created to do. We were created to praise. It says some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, this is ridiculous. That they're saying, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,' as though you were the Messiah." And then Jesus says this to them. He says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, even the rocks will cry out." Even the rocks will cry out. That seems crazy. But if you look at the rest of the Bible, Psalm 19 verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Psalm 98, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. You will go out with joy," Isaiah 55, "you will go out with joy, you'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." Psalm 150 verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Isaiah 43:21, "Now this is where it comes to you. Now, if the heavens can declare God's glory, if the skies can declare his praise, if the mountains and the fields and the rivers can declare the glory of the Lord, then how much more those he has created for his praise?" Look at this, Isaiah 43. "People," that's you and me, "I have formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise." We have been created to declare his praise. In Ephesians, it says something similar. In Ephesians 1, it says, "In him we were also chosen, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory." We have been created to praise him. There is no higher calling on your life but to be a worshiper of him, to be one who declares his praises and through our lives to reveal his glory. So praise is something that should overflow from a heart of worship. Praise provides a throne on the earth for the King of glory. Praise is what we were created to do. And then finally, praise is how we fight our battles. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes." The source of peace for Jerusalem was standing there before them, was just about to walk through the east gate into the city of Jerusalem. And he, the Prince of Peace, the longing of Israel, the fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah, he was standing there before them. And most people were just about to miss him. More than that, in a few days' time, he was going to be hanging on a cross, killed like a common criminal, for raising Lazarus from the dead. And sometimes we can miss the help that is available to us because we look in all of the wrong places for that help. I want to take you to a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And if you've got your Bibles, it would be helpful for you if you could open it up. And this is the story of when King Jehoshaphat was about to meet some armies of nations that were surrounding the people of God. And so it was a coalition of three different nations, and they were very numerous and very powerful. And the story is that King Jehoshaphat and all of the people saw that these armies were arrayed against them, and it looked completely hopeless. It looked as though they would surely be defeated. And I don't know what you do when you're facing moments like that, where you just feel overwhelmed and you feel surrounded and you don't know what to do. What would you do? And of course, as Christians, our first port of call should be the Lord, but often we look to a friend or to a colleague or to a book or to a podcast or to a doctor, and we go to them first, even before we consult the Lord. But this is what they did. It says in verse 4, "The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him." In verse 12, "Our God, will you not judge them?" This is a prayer now. "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And that's a great prayer, isn't it? How often in our lives are we faced with situations where we just don't know what to do? We don't know what to do, but we do know where our help comes from, don't we? Hallelujah. And then in verse 17, through a prophetic voice, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you." And in verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Now look at this, verse 22. "As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated." When were they defeated? As they began to sing and praise. Now, if you were facing these vast armies before you, you would make sure your swords were sharpened and that your chariot wheels had puncture repair kits. And you would make sure that your army had been trained and that even the young men had been equipped to be part of this battle. You would call in reinforcements from across the nations. You would make sure that even the women and those who had, and the children and those who had no experience fighting in the army were prepared to step in if needs be. You would do everything you could to prepare yourself for every eventuality. And often we look for answers to our problems within, or we look for answers for our problems without. And often the first port of call isn't the Lord, but what happened on this occasion is that the people of God sought the Lord for help because they knew that they couldn't do it on their own. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And as soon as they had prayed that prayer, a prophet was raised up who said, "The battle isn't yours. The battle is the Lord's. Go out tomorrow and the Lord will deliver these people into your hands." And the thing that Jehoshaphat did, which was a stroke of genius, is he took those who were the choir, the worship leaders in the house of God, and he put them at the head of the army, and he commissioned them to sing. And when they began to sing and to praise, and the armies of God joined in, and it became a cacophony of praise, it was then that the armies were defeated. Praise the Lord. And there are other examples of that. So we see the people of God marching around the walls of Jericho and to give a shout and to blow the trumpets. And when the trumpets were sounded, the walls came down in Judges chapter 7, we also see when the armies of God came against the foe and they sounded the trumpets, the opposing armies went into confusion and began to fight amongst themselves. And we see in these examples the power of praise. Now, why was praise powerful in these situations? I believe that praise is powerful because it invites the Lord of glory to come and to be God in our midst. It reminds us who God is. Now listen, when you declare the praises of God, you're not only ascribing to the Lord the splendor of his great name, you're also reminding yourself how great your God is. And so when you praise God, faith begins to rise in your heart. Have you seen that? In your own life, when you begin to praise God, faith rises up in your heart. And how do we overcome problems? You know, it's not a superstition. We don't sing songs because the singing of the songs actually changes anything. We sing the songs because we're praising the Lord of glory who is able to intervene on our behalf. We don't praise him because he will do those things, but he does those things because we praise him. He shows himself to be God. He inhabits the praises of his people. We invite him to come and reveal his power and his glory as we praise him. And another example of this is in Acts chapter 16. The apostle Paul and Silas had been severely beaten and had been thrown into prison, and it was midnight. And I don't know how you would have felt. You'd have been sore, you'd have been bleeding, it would have been cold, there would be no central heating, there would have been bugs and creepy crawlies, and you were in stocks, chained. You weren't even sure whether tomorrow you would be beaten some more or maybe beheaded. And the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were there, and maybe your instinct, my instinct, might have been, well, we need to come up with a plan. We need to phone someone on our hidden mobile phone, or we need to send a secret message somehow. Or we need to get out of these chains and we need to try and escape. And many of us would have tried to formulate a plan. But Paul and Silas, they'd been through a few things. And they'd seen God work in miraculous ways in their lives. And so this is what they did. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And it says, as they were praying and singing hymns to God, suddenly there was a violent earthquake that hit the foundations of the prison. It was shaken. The prison doors flew open. Everyone's chains became loosed when they praised God. How awesome is that? And so we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on you. We praise you, Jesus, because you are the one who sets the captives free. We thank you, Jesus, because you are the one who heals our physical bodies. We thank you, Jesus, because you put our chaotic minds at rest. We thank you, Jesus, because you have come to save us from our sin. We thank you, Jesus, because you have given us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We thank you, Jesus, that you have reconciled us to the Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the God of the universe in human form. We thank you that what we were unable to do on the cross, you did in our place, in the laying down of your life, in the sacrificing of yourself for the forgiveness of our sins. We praise you, Jesus, that you are risen and ascended and today sit at the right hand of God. We thank you, Jesus, because you're coming again on the clouds as you left, and every eye will see and every knee will bow before you and every tongue will confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you are a soon coming King and you're going to take us to be where you are. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God, that you are bigger than our circumstances. You are bigger than the disease in our bodies. You are bigger than the brokenness we see around you. You are bigger than Brexit. You're bigger than a government and a king and a president. You are bigger than all of those things. We praise you. You're above and beyond, and you're more powerful. There's nothing that you cannot do. You are the God who is able. That feels good, doesn't it? Come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Just want to leave you with this. This is exquisite. Enjoy this. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, where there's the genealogies, you know all of that, where, you know, this person begat this person and there's a family tree. Well, look at this. In verse 3 of Matthew 1, it says, Judah begot Perez. You ever read that before? Well, in the Old Testament, unlike many of our families in the UK, some of you here, of course, it'll be different because you come from different cultures, but names have meanings. Who knows what the name Judah means? Praise. Who knows what the name Perez means? Breakthrough, yes. It means breakthrough. So here we go. Praise gives birth to breakthrough. Praise gives birth to breakthrough. I don't think that's by accident that God included that in the Bible. Let's just pray. I wonder if you stand to your feet with me. Maybe the worship guys can come back as well. Let me say, we honor our worship team and we love the way they lead us in worship, but I want to say to you all today, you are all worship leaders. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us as we worship and praise Him. And here's the thing, right? In the Old Testament, King David tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of Jerusalem on a cart. It was how the other nations would have done it. But God had given strict instructions about how the presence of God was to be carried. And it was to be carried on the shoulders of the people. And today I want to say, you know, we thank God for gifted musicians and anointed worship leaders, but the praise of God has to be carried on the shoulders of all of His people. As we approach His presence, we come not as those who are an audience singing songs led by a band on the stage, but as a kingdom of priests who serve Almighty God, as the Levites did of old, in the carrying of the Lord's presence and the ministering in the Lord's presence. And so, Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You are a God who is worthy of praise. You are worthy of our highest praise. And Lord, we thank You that today, Lord God, we have the privilege of You, as Your children, of standing here and declaring Your greatness, Father, of exalting You, of lifting You up, of magnifying You, Lord God, because You are worthy of our praise. Lord, there is power in praise, Lord God. Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You are enthroned when we praise. Lord God, when we praise You, You take Your seat amongst us, Lord God. And we just want to acknowledge Your greatness, Your power, and Your presence now in this place. And we pray, Lord God, as we continue to praise Your name now in singing, Lord God, that glory would fill this room. The glory would fill our hearts, Lord God. That we would meet with the risen Jesus, even in the singing of these songs. As we praise You, Lord God, would You come so that we can encounter You in all of Your glory? Would You come and reveal the majesty and the glory and the awesomeness of who You are in our midst, Lord God? Father, we're not going home yet, Lord God. We're hungry, Lord God. Our hearts are hungry, Lord God. We want You, Lord God. Would You come now? And would You inhabit the praises of Your people? Church, just begin to praise Him. Lift your voice and praise Him. If you have a tongue, another tongue, begin to praise Him in your tongue. If you want to wave flags, wave flags. If you want to blow horns, blow horns. Let's praise Him, church. Let's praise Him in the sanctuary. Let's praise Him in His holiness, in the beauty of His holiness. We come now, Lord God, not because we have to, but because we can. Because we're invited through the torn veil into the Holy of Holies, Lord God. We worship You, we exalt You, we praise You. This is how we fight our battles. This is how.